This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
That funny, Jim?
It is. Ta-dum, 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 ta-dum.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with J.J. Jasper. How you doing, J.J. Jasper?
Glad to be here.
And Fred Jackson is going to step into the celebrity seat for trivia today.
Mm-hmm.
And our resident Canadian import.
Visiting professor.
Visiting professor from Canada.
Yeah, been on sabbatical.
Did I say Canada right?
You got it.
I thought. How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing really well. Really
so
well.
You're sitting in today, and you do hail from Canada. Mm-hmm. Ed Battagliano, who is usually here as professor, is away on vacation. Does he have any vacation time left, JJ? Professor Battagliano, he's gone again.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's tenured, so he can say anything,
right.
Do anything.
Go anywhere.
Zero accountability.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Trivia Friday it is. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University. It is on the air.
Well, now today we have to say Learning University A.
Got to work that in there.
All right, here's how we do this. We ask three questions each. That's three times three, so nine questions will be before you, and you can call in and answer one of them. And ask us a trivia question here on American Family Radio's Trivia Friday show. So that's how it works. That's how we prefer it. Now, you don't have to do both. You can call and answer one without asking, but we prefer you call in and ask and answer. So that's what we do here. Let me give the, is this the right phone number for us? Okay. I don't know. You'd think after all these years we'd have our phone number memorized, but I do have my Social Security number. Do you guys have yours memorized?
Oh, sure.
Let me tell you what's happened, not just with you, but with most of our listeners. We don't have any phone numbers memorized because we just have them in our phone.
I know.
In our contacts. So if I was ever out somewhere and they said, tell me your best friend's phone number, your wife, whatever.
I don't know.
I would be at a it would be challenging.
I do know my wife's. You don't know your wife?
Yes, okay. I do know my wife's.
But I don't
yes.
know any of my kids.
No.
I have three kids. I don't know their phone numbers.
Just press the button. Now.
Press the button.
Yeah. We have been dumbed down.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've dumbed ourselves
but
down.
We're about to change that.
We're changing that right here.
Right here on this program.
One question at a time.
Raising your IQ.
Here's the phone number, 888. This is the phone number to call us to be on the show. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number. Fred, you can go first since you're our visiting professor.
Yeah, this is a big weekend. Like today is Canada's birthday, and Monday is America's birthday.
Right.
And so I thought I would give you a couple of questions for kind of American history questions, American knowledge questions. And one Canadian questions for our millions of Canadians that are listening. So here are my questions. In which U.S. state would you find Stone Mountain Park?
Good question.
In which U.S. state would you find Stone Mountain Park? My second question, how old must a person be to run for president of the United States?
How mature.
No. Oh, yeah.
You right. have to be.
No.
Not how smart you have to be.
Nope.
Not.
What's the youngest you can be?
To run for president.
To run for president of the United States.
United States of America.
And my Canuck question is this.
Okay.
Which Canadian province was the last to join Confederation? There's only 10 provinces.
There's 10 provinces.
All right. Which was the last to join Confederation?
Okay.
Good questions. Here's what I've got. Start off with the baseball question. Which baseball great was nicknamed the Iron Horse? Which baseball great was nicknamed the Iron Horse? Second question, who was the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army? Thinking about America's birthday as well, Fred, I've got several questions to reflect that. Who was the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army? And then true or false, every U.S. president that has had a beard was a Republican. Is that true or false? Every U.S. president that sported a beard was a Republican. True or false?
Hmm.
Right up like to current?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we haven't had a bearded president in a while, though.
So you know it's going to go back.
It goes back. Do you think Americans would elect a bearded president today? I think it
depends on how avid of a duck hunter they are.
There's a lot of beard bigots out there. I don't know that we could elect one today.
I think Phil has single-handedly changed the sentiment.
Duck commander.
You see
people judge people on their beards
players
today.
You see more bearded people now, and I think it's single-handedly because of our friends.
It depends on how much food is in the beard.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's true. That kind of sets you back.
Yeah.
That sets you back. All right, here are my three questions. What is the name of the phobia for someone who has a fear of dogs? There is a technical, scientific name.
Called a mailman.
What is the name of the phobia for someone who has a fear of dogs?
Good question.
You know, like a claustrophobic is somebody who has a fear of small spaces. You have a fear of dogs. What are you? What problem do you have? What issue are you dealing with? That's what I want to know. Number two, listen carefully to this question. I'm stretching folks today, okay, our listeners. I don't want to just throw softballs at you, all right?
You thought just because it's summer school, you're going to get off easy, throw spit wads, play games, just because you're confined here during summer school of Trivia Friday.
Right.
That's not the case.
Professor Tim has been burying his head in the internet looking for questions that will challenge you.
So we're moving up beyond the 100 level courses.
Yes,
here.
We are.
Yeah.
It's time.
This is graduate course stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We're headed toward our master's and doctorate. Cascade, horsetail, plunge, and tiered are types of what?
Oh, you got to do that one again.
Yeah, say that again.
All right. Listen, cascade, horsetail, plunge, and tiered are types of what?
Olympic diving moves. You come off that 7-meter platform and you do a horsetail, throw a little cascade in there. Even the Russian judges are going to give you high marks.
I think the Russians got kicked out of the Olympics this summer. I don't think they're going to be able to come.
A lot of people aren't going to the Olympics.
Well, I think the Russians have doping problems.
Hey, I know we get off on these rabbit trails.
I'm not calling them dopey. I'm saying they got...
The folks with the banner saying, welcome to Rio de Janeiro, where the police and the firemen do not get paid. You are here, and it is unsafe. Well, they said some of the practice... They said that the economy's tanked. They're not ready. And they said some of the practice folks were going down the river, the rowers... And they ran into a couch floating in the river while they were on a practice run.
And they've modified it now. It's it's going to be an obstacle course.
I thought there was a couch race. Was there not a couch race?
There is now.
You make a turn at the couch. You go over to the dining room table.
Oh,
so you got the couch floating out in the river.
Floating down the river with a lot of that
would be
junk.
That would be funny if you saw that on live TV.
And in Rio, you're lucky that's all it is. There are other things floating in the water.
While you're swatting mosquitoes, you're trying to keep from running into the...
Better in river racing in Calcutta, though, I'll tell you that. All right, and number three. Why wasn't George Washington the first person to sign the Declaration of Independence?
Oh, good question.
Mm-hmm. Why wasn't George Washington the first person to sign the Declaration of Independence? All right, there you go. Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
To the phones we go. JJ, you take control.
Let's go to Paducah, Kentucky, where Sammy's on the line. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning. How are you?
We're blessed. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
Well, I thought I would go for broke and do one of each.
All right, which one you want to answer?
Well, I think I want to choose the one that I believe would be the easiest for me to answer. That's the question about Stone Mountain, which state?
Mountain Park.
Go ahead and repeat the question. Fred.
In which U.S. state would you find Stone Mountain Park?
I'm going to guess Georgia.
Yes.
You got it right. Done, Sammy.
Georgia. All right. What a great way to start.
Yes. Way to get us
started. How did you know that, Sammy?
Well, I'm from Mississippi, and that's not too far from Stone Mountain, and I've actually been there a few times.
Right. Yeah, great. I've been there a few times myself. It's kind of odd because you have I think it's east of Atlanta, isn't it, Sammy?
Yeah.
And
I believe that's correct. Yes.
But it's kind of odd. You're just sort of driving out there in the suburbs, and all of a sudden, there's this Stone Mountain. out there in the middle of nowhere.
When you're flying into the Atlanta airport, it's really weird. When you're looking off to the east, there's this big lump.
Yeah.
Now, is that where the Vulcan sits on top of
that? No, it's Birmingham, Alabama. Vulcan, you get your...
I got my areas mixed up.
Yeah, you got your areas mixed up. But that's where they have the carving into the Stone Mountain of the Confederate generals, right?
Been there.
Yeah.
So you've seen it.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. But anyway.
Way to go, Sammy. Hey, what's your question for us?
How did Vulcan and Stone Mountain come into your mind together? Just
thinking about the mountain and traveling. I guess when I travel, I hit Birmingham and then go to Atlanta, and I've made that route a bunch, and I knew that the mountain's there, and so I thought, somewhere
it sort of all runs together.
Somewhere there's the Vulcan up there, up on top.
For those who
I guess it's Iron Mountain.
For those who don't know, there's the Vulcan is in Birmingham, and it sort of sits on top of the hill overlooking the city, and it's got some symbolism, but I've forgotten what it was. It had something to do with their steel.
Right. When they were
the history of steel in Birmingham, Alabama. It used to be known as the Pittsburgh of the South. Mm-hmm. Just giving a little context because people are wondering if you're thinking about Mr. Spock, JJ, and they may be thinking, well, JJ is really going off his rocker here.
You know what? They've thought that before. Sammy, what's your question for us?
Okay, I've got an easy one for you guys. This one has to do with professional sports. What was the age of the youngest person to play professional baseball?
The youngest person to play professional baseball? That's the question?
Sir.
Now, is this modern times?
That is the question.
Say within the last 40 years?
No, it actually happened in my lifetime.
You can be any age as far as I think 17. I know of a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old. Robin.
Well, my question is what is the youngest age of the person to play professional?
You're talking
baseball.
About major leagues now, right? Major League Baseball.
Yes, sir.
Because professional is just being paid. So. Well, I know Robin.
In fact, I'll even tell you the name of the team he played for was the Cincinnati Reds, and he played in 1944. But my question is, how old was he?
Well, Robin Yount. Let me answer the question, then you can answer because we keep talking over each other. Robin Yount was a player for the Milwaukee Brewers in the 70s, and he was 18 years old, and he started at shortstop. Now, you're talking about the 40s for the Cincinnati Reds. I don't know the answer to that. What is the answer?
I'm going to guess 16. Let's guess at least.
Oh, he says the age or the person?
Yeah, the age. No, the age. I'm going to guess 16.
Know. Teenager for sure. I'd say 18.
Okay. 16 is close, but he was actually 15.
Wow.
And he was also went on to be a professional and actually made the All-Star team in 1955 and 1956.
Wow.
His name was Joseph Nuxhall, Nuxhal. Hmm. 15 years old. The scouts were actually looking at his father, and he got drafted because of the war.
So did he?
And they saw his son playing.
Yeah. Did his mom have to drop him off at practice?
Well, I can't tell you that. I don't know.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
That's awesome. Thank you. All right. The only major league player with a curfew.
Mom, pick me up at 6. Okay. Son, make sure you get your check.
Yeah. what am I going to do with all this money?
Mike, all right. Mike yeah. from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Hello, Mike. Hello, Mike. Hey, Mike, you need to turn your radio down, sir. There's a delay there.
How about this?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Welcome. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Let's try both.
Which one you want to answer?
I think I might know that fear of dogs.
All right, let me get that question here for you. Excuse me just one second here. Okay, here we go. What is the name of the phobia for someone who has a fear of dogs?
I think it's cynophobia.
Cynophobia.
Hey,
cynophobia.
Go,
have you ever known anybody that was a cynophobic?
Yeah. Right. I ride with a bicycle club, and there are guys who have had encounters with bad dogs who seem to have an extra fear of dogs after
they've been chased
down by one. Or,
well, that'd give you a fear of dogs. What I've found amusing is the people who have great faith to pray against all kind of fear. And then I'm not making fun of this. I just find it amusing. And then when the little dog comes along, they get terrified. I'm just going, what happened to your faith? Come on. Anyway.
I heard the definition of diplomacy
yeah.
is while you're smiling and saying, nice doggy, you're reaching for a stick.
Cynophobia is the correct answer. So okay. If you know a cynophobic person, be compassionate with them. But every once in a while, you need to go up behind them, whether, don't know it, and go, whoa! That's it, right? That's what J.J. Jasper does to people. That'll get them on it. But that'll help them overcome the fear. It's like having the hiccups.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
I have to confess, I've had occasional cynophobia.
Yeah, you've had some.
If you're walking in the morning at 5 o'clock and there's a pit bull on the loose,
right?
You bet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a definite. Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm talking about scared of a Maltese.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about, those kind of people right there. All right. So anyway, cynophobic is a correct answer, my friend. You got it right. What's your question for us?
Okay. Here it is. Who was the first president to fly in an airplane? And then who was the second president to fly in an airplane?
Okay, let us talk amongst ourselves here.
Okay.
First of all, he would have had to been what age, Fred?
Well, you'd have to be at a time. I'm thinking 1954, I think, is when the Boeing 707 first flew. So we'd have to go before that. Now, JJ, you're an aviation enthusiast.
Right. I'm thinking right early 1900s, Orville and Wilbur made their debut. So it could have it took off pretty quickly. So it could have been in the 20s that a president went up in one, not as like an Air Force One, but just flew in an airplane. So who was president in the 20s?
Well, you got Teddy Roosevelt was right in there somewhere. So we're going to say Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
You are right, Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow, good guess.
No, really, really. I just
he had already gotten out of office.
No need to applaud for me on that one.
He had gotten out of office, but he got an offer to go up in a Wright Flyer biplane, 1910, and he took it.
1910?
And I think he was the one that coined that phrase, walk softly, carry a big stick, and try to always get in first class.
Yes.
What about, so that would have, Wilbur and Orville flew when, JJ?
Early 1900s.
Like, so this was 1910, though, that he flew.
Yeah.
Where did you say where that was, and what was the context there?
I don't remember now where. I think it was Ohio.
But it was a Wright Flyer, so it was the one that those brothers built.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Now, the second president did not fly again until 1943.
Wow.
And that would have been Teddy's cousin, Franklin Roosevelt, He flew in 1943. That was so. There was a 33-year period there until.
Hey, what if you had a president who was had a fear of flying? You got.
Yeah.
You got you. Your country's got. Well, I think you should.
Well, the taxpayers would save a lot of money.
That's true. True. Yes. Duly noted.
You
would
have. You'd have Greyhound One.
Yeah, Greyhound One. All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Mike.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. So I had that question. How many questions have we had answered here? JJ, repeat yours.
Okay.
And then Fred, and then I will.
Here's what I've got. First question, which baseball great was nicknamed the Iron Horse? Second question, who was the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army, thinking about the birth of America? Third question, true or false, every U.S. president that has had a beard has been a Republican. Is that true or false?
Mm. True or false?
All right, I've got two left. How old must a person be to run for president of the United States? How old must a person be?
That really represents ageism, though. Mm-hmm. If you want to think about it. We're trying to get rid of all these isms in America.
It's profiling, for sure.
It's right. Yeah. It's age profiling.
Fair about that.
Very discriminatory.
And my other one is the Canadian flavor one. Which Canadian province was the last to join Confederation?
Which held out?
Which
one held out to the end?
Yep.
All right.
Wayne, do you know the answer? I'm sorry, Tim.
Yeah. Here are my two questions that have gone unanswered heretofore, along with what JJ asked earlier. Why wasn't George Washington the first person to sign the Declaration of Independence? Or why didn't he even sign it at all? Why didn't George Washington sign the Declaration of Independence? Number two, listen carefully to this question. Cascade, horsetail, plunge, and tiered are types of what? That's what I want to know the answer to.
Amish rap bands. Not a doubt in my mind. Well, come on, let's get in our buggy. We're going to go hear the Cascades Friday night. Break out your hay bales. Let's all sit around.
It's a Friday night rap
let's
session.
Listen to these Amish rap singers.
That's okay. So that would have been like a group singing, like a gospel singing.
Hold down.
We got the Cascades, the horsetails,
yes.
The plungers, and
yes.
The tiered.
Not a doubt in my mind. Right. That's the right answer.
The horsetails are throwing me. I've got some connection with the other, but the horsetail.
Right. Hey, Wayne, Rapid City, South Dakota. You have an answer for some of these questions or a question for us?
Yes, sir. I would like to do both. I would like to answer the age of the president, please.
All right. How old must a person be to run for president of the United States?
I believe it's 35 years of age.
Hey, you got it.
Way to go. Hey!
Hey, that's kind of young, though, don't you think?
Nicely done, Wayne.
Don't you think it's kind of young, Wayne?
Yeah, it's kind of young, especially for, even the age of some of the presidents we've had lately. They're in their 50s, and then you wonder how they've been able to get to that level, you know. But
I don't know when this. I don't know when this happens, but okay. I'm 53. I don't know when this happened to you guys. You get to about 50, 51, 52, right in here, and you start realizing that. Everybody's younger than you who are doing great things, and you just go, that's just not right. I don't want a doctor in here that doesn't shave. You know what I'm saying? With a white coat on telling me what's wrong with me. You need to have some gray hair on your head.
He walks into the room, and you say, where's your dad? Shouldn't your father be the one coming in here to check me? No, I'm Dr. Johnson.
Your pharmacist handing you pills, and, you know, you're going like, have you even graduate from high school yet?
Pilot of the airplane?
I know. Listen,
Wayne, stay on the line because you want a free gift, and then we'll give you a chance to ask us a question after this on Trivia Friday.
Next time on Today's Issues, we take Independence Day to be with our families. But we have a very special rebroadcast for you in which you'll hear Taz Sada explain his conversion to Christ.
When he read the Bible to me, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the What was God? John 1:1. Now I began shaking and I lost consciousness.
Followed by an Independence Day special from Dr. Ray Pritchard. Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we'll visit on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is the United States Marine Corps Memorial, also known as the Iwo Jima Memorial, built in 1954 and the largest bronze statue in the world. Stephen McDowell, who's the president of the Providence Foundation, a historian, will join us all along the way, answer questions, talk about the people, the places, and the events in our nation's capital, and then on to Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. In addition, we'll go to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for those who want to join us for this separate trip, which just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour. For all the information on either of these tours, just visit us on the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, this is in September. Go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. The Star-Spangled Banner survived the rocket's red glare only to face a modern-day threat, silly town ordinances and petty bureaucrats. I'm not sure if it's an epidemic of anti-American nincompoopery or if it's a general lack of common sense. Maybe it's both. Who knows? In Lexington, South Carolina, Marine veteran Bob Michaelis was told to remove a patriotic display from his mattress company. Bob lined the front of his store with American flags to honor the troops, but the town fathers say the flags violate the law. The mayor disparaged Bob on Facebook, said he was using the flags for advertising, not patriotism. And in Newport Beach, California, residents got in trouble for decorating their homes with the red, white, and blue. But just like Bob, the locals are standing their ground. True patriots, one and all. Let's just hope God continues to bless America in spite of the petty bureaucrats. I'm Todd Stearns.
Well, there you go. That's the, you might be wondering, hey, it's the birthday of America. Why are you playing the birthday of, why are you playing the song, the National Anthem of Canada? Because we have Fred Jackson in studio who hails from the great white north. And this is also today. Today is the Canadian birthday.
Canada Day.
Uh-huh. Now, you said to me, they're changing that song. That's a great song right there.
It's a great song, but there's a word in there that apparently offends a lot of people.
Now, you're being serious now. You're not joking.
No.
You're telling me they're changing the National Anthem of Canada but based on political correctness.
Yes. And the line you just heard,
right.
In all our sons
right.
command.
Right.
Oh,
well,
brother.
They just can't have that anymore.
Wow.
Sons,
oh,
it's
word.
Sexist. So just in the last couple of weeks, they put this bill forward. It's in committee now up there. They're going to change that in all of us command instead of all our sons command.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, they just went after the airmen saying they needed to change that, and I'm glad the military stood
well, the Air
their
Force,
ground.
The Air Force is standing up to
yes,
it.
Yes. I'm so thankful.
Anyway, today's Canada Day. So
happy birthday, Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
We may have some Canadians.
Nice
what is a Canuck? Is that a Canadian?
That's a Canadian,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So all you Canucks who are listening to our program, we welcome you to American Family Radio. I guess that's kind of nationalist. We should probably change our name to North American Family Radio if we want to be inclusive. We might want to consider that. All right, so
we've got Wayne holding from Rapid City, South Dakota. He answered the question correctly about how old you have to be to run for president. And Wayne, what's your question for us?
Okay, the question I'd like to ask you guys deals with Elijah and Elisha. What body of water did they cross together before Elijah was taken into heaven, and how did they part the water?
I think Fred has the answer. The professor... Professor Frey can answer that.
You know what? This is just providence. I read that this morning.
Wow.
Read that.
I love when that happens.
I knew we had you on for a reason.
Yeah, there you go. They crossed the Jordan, and Elijah took his cloak off, and he rolled up his cloak, and he hit the water with the cloak, and the waters parted.
Is that true?
All right.
Way to go.
I don't think Ed would have got that one. I don't think Professor Ed would have got that one.
I get Elijah and Elisha mixed up.
Elijah's the young one.
Okay, that's a good way to remember.
Yep.
Hey, Wayne, the cowbell you heard when you answered correctly our mystery question, you're going to get the hilarious highlights.
The cowbell ring?
Yes, it rang. Hilarious highlights, Learning University CD. And I've been working on Volume 3, and I heard on one of the shows that Kelly, one of our listeners, she suggested us have a mystery question back in 2014, and we started giving T-shirts. We said, Kelly, that's an excellent idea. And I didn't remember that. It was one of our Learning University's listeners who suggested that. So you've got Kelly to thank. Wayne, you're going to love the Hilarious Highlights Learning University CD. So stay on the
line.
Volume
2.
Yes, stay on the line, and we'll get your information, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. It's summer school. And I'm the dean. I'm Dean Tim Wildman, Professor J.J. Jasper, pride of
Owensboro,
Kentucky. And our resident Canadian visiting professor, Fred Jackson. Ed Battagliano, who's with us normally.
Eternally on sabbatical.
On what the deal is with him. But burning up all his vacation days for the year's halfway over. All right, so let's repeat our questions and then go back to the phones. Professor Jasper, what do you have?
Here's what I've got. Not even a nibble on these. Which baseball great was nicknamed the Iron Horse? Second question, who is the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army? Third question, true or false? Every U.S. president that has had a beard has been a Republican. Is that true or false?
All right, well, I burned up two of my questions. Okay. I got to give two
new ones. Yeah.
I got some new ones.
Yeah.
All right, people going to be eating out this weekend, all right? Maybe some
firing up the grill.
Chinese food, maybe?
Right. Chinese food.
Okay.
In honor of American trade.
That's right.
On our national
Now, this may throw some people. Where was the fortune cookie invented? I need the state. A lot of people would have thought, hey, well, invented in China. No, it's not.
Oh,
it was invented right here.
The fortune cookie was invented here in the U.S.?
The United States of America.
Okay.
And the particular state, that's what I want. And the second, who was the first astronaut to visit space twice? Who was the first astronaut to visit space twice?
You talk about some frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. Especially you get those moon ones. Those moon trips are great. And my third one, which Canadian province was the last to join Confederation?
Those guys are sitting around at a party. Somebody says, here, watch me moonwalk. No. You don't even have the right to say that. I'm the one that can tell you about moonwalking.
All right. I got a new question for you. We've had this question, but it's been 2 years ago or so. But I'll ask it again, and I probably need to separate this question from, did you say Chinese restaurants, or what did you say?
Where was the fortune cookie invented?
Oh, okay. Not China.
No.
Okay, here's my question. Pause. According to the American Kennel Club, what is the most popular dog breed found in the U.S.?
Oh, I think I know that.
Now, the pause, are you doing this via telegraph, or are we still live on the air? Here's my question. Stop.
I don't even know. I would say 20% of our audience even know what I'm getting at right there.
I think they do.
You think I need to give them more credit
No,
than that?
Yes, okay. Yes. Give them more credit.
So according to the American Kennel Club, not based in China, what is the most popular dog breed found in the United States of America? Number two, my question that has not been answered is the following. Cascade, horsetail, plunge, and tiered were with Santa on the trip. No, just kidding. Cascade, horsetail, plunge, and tiered are not reindeer for Santa, but they are types of what? They are types of what? When I describe those four things, describe a type of something. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, and everybody knows you. I mean, you made it too easy. Everybody knows it's the dwarves that got cut. You had Doc and Sneezy and all those others. Yeah, those were the ones that didn't make the.
Oh, they didn't make the. Yeah,
they didn't make the roster.
The Santa, the Pinta, and the other one. Hey, what was George Washington? Why wasn't George Washington a signer of the Declaration of Independence? I want to know the answer to that.
I'm curious to find out what that's all about.
Why wasn't George Washington a signer of the Declaration of Independence?
He was at the dentist that day getting fitted for those wooden teeth. Couldn't get away. Hey, Kronos, I think is how you pronounce this, from Texarkana, Texas. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Is it Kronos?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kronos, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both.
Which one you want to answer?
It's true or false.
All right. True or false? Every U.S. president that has had a beard has been a Republican. Is that true or false, Kronos?
I'm going to guess false.
It's 100% true. Every U.S. president that has had a beard has been a Republican.
Okay, I'm thinking of Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln,
yeah, he's
Republican.
He's got a beard. And so Democrats, what are they?
They were clean-shaven, and all the ones that sported a beard were Republicans.
I think they were supported by the Blade Union. I think that's when all that started. You know what I'm saying?
Those lobbyists started early, didn't they?
That's interesting.
Hey, did you have a question for us?
Yes, sir, I did. It's sort of a two-part question, actually.
Or two-tiered. Maybe a two-tiered question. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Who said the phrase, "One shall stand, one shall fall," and what movie was it from?
Pogo. Wasn't it?
No.
I'm thinking it was a gymnastics movie.
What?
People that were on that balance beam.
One shall stand and one shall fall. Inventor of dominoes. Well,
so
we don't know.
I think we're stumped.
It's a movie?
It's a cartoon movie.
A cartoon movie.
1980.
What was that Jim Carrey cartoon where he made all those crazy faces? You think maybe it was that?
He made crazy faces in every movie. I don't know.
I'm going to guess that Jim Carrey movie, the cartoon. That's just a wild guess.
No, in 1980, Jim Carrey wasn't even around.
Oh, was he not?
No, he wasn't around. So you're going to have somebody else. We don't know. What's the answer?
The answer, well, the person who said it is Optimus Prime, and the movie was from the first Transformers movie.
What year?
1980. I don't know the. I know it was like 80.
What was the context, though? What was the point? Why was it significant that was said in that movie?
Because that's one of the last words he said before he died. That's one of the last words he said before he fought Megatron for the last time.
Transformers. Okay, you mean somebody died in an animated movie like that? That was a kids' movie. Or just what was that? Transformers.
It was a kid's movie. It was
a
long time ago.
I just know one of those goes out by my house. I don't have power. I know that. Hey, thanks for calling, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're listening to today's issue. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Don't go to many movies, do you?
Trivia. I don't anymore. About 3 years, about it. Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed. Ed's gone. So Fred's filling in for him. Mm-hmm. Fred Jackson and JJ Jasper. We also call this show
Learning University.
Learning. Let's try that one more time, Fred. Follow JJ's lead, but join in there with him. We call this show
Learning University.
That's much better.
No, that was in sync.
That's right.
Lewis from Louisiana on the line. Hello, Lewis.
Let me give the phone number again. All right, here's our phone number, 888-589-8840. If you want to call and be on the air with us to ask and or answer a question on Trivia Friday, 888-589-8840. You can also, we won't use the questions necessarily here on the, but if you want to email us for any reason here at American Family Radio, just send your email to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. All right, JJ, who's next?
Laurel, Mobile, Alabama. Hello.
How's it going, eh?
Oh, nice.
Hey, you listen well. Where did you get that Canuck accent? Where did you get that Canuck accent?
Because I'm from Burlington, Ontario.
All right, we got a Canuck. All right.
Wonderful. Hey, wow. Did I pronounce your name right?
Take off. Yes, sir. Take off, eh?
We'll just have our own private conversation.
You know, when that became, I used to watch this show back in the 70s, I guess it was. It was some sort of, it was like Saturday Night Live, except it was from Canada.
I know what you mean.
Second City TV.
Second City. And John Candy. John Candy was on there. Yeah.
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
That's right.
Oh, they used to make fun of Canadians. I mean, it was funny stuff, but it was the stereotype of Canadians, and I remember that A.
Yeah.
A. So you're from Ontario?
Yes, sir. I just live in Mobile.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Are you from near Toronto or where?
Yeah, about 50 clicks from Toronto.
Yeah. Now, clicks. We have to explain that.
Please do.
All right. Clicks is kilometers.
Kilometers.
We do the metric system.
How many yards is that?
Let me see. You know, I should remember. That's about 30 miles, I think. About 30 miles, would you say that's right? Toronto to Burlington, about 30, 35 miles? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you have a question for us, or you want to answer one or both?
I'm going to do both. I'm going to do Fred's question.
All right, Fred, pose. Hold on. Let Fred pose the question again for those who are just tuning in, and then
want to answer the Canadian province question, right? Which Canadian province was the last to join Confederation?
Okay, I wasn't sure if you meant a territory or a province.
Province.
Province. Okay, I know Newfoundland was in 1949.
That's correct.
And you had Nunavut. Okay.
So Nineveh.
I'm not sure which one you wanted.
Yeah, no, it's a province. I want the provinces.
Nunavut was 1999.
1949 was Newfoundland. That is right.
Nice to go, Laurel.
Way to go.
Newfoundland?
Thank you.
Newfoundland. Newfoundland. Now, our Canadian listener has got it right. See, it's spelled F-O-U-N-D, and a lot of people say Newfoundland, but it's Newfoundland, right? Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, yes.
You got it.
Newfoundland.
Do you have a question for us, Laurel?
All right. Now, Fred will know this, but I don't know about you guys. Who was the first prime minister?
The first prime minister of Canada?
Yes.
That's the question?
Yes.
Let's see. We hold on just a minute. JJ?
No clue.
That was his name?
No, that's where I am. No
but that's
clue.
That's French. No clue.
No clue?
Yeah, Professor. We don't know. Fred, do you know the first Prime Minister of Canada?
You know.
That would have been the 1800s?
Well, Canada came into being, in 1867, right?
Mm-hmm.
Canada is younger than the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, by 90 years.
Go for it.
We don't know. What's the answer?
Okay, John A. MacDonald. He was 1867 to 1873.
That's John A. MacDonald.
That's
where the expression A started, right? Yep.
John A.
McDonald.
I don't know how he did as a prime minister, but his restaurants
have done really well.
Yeah,
worldwide, in fact.
Well, you know how they came up with the name Canada for the country?
How's that?
They had to put a bunch of letters in a paper bag because they couldn't think of a name, so they drew letters and they go C-A-N-A-C-A.
That's really good. I've not heard of that before. Good. That's wonderful. Oh, I love it.
You made the show, Laurel, and that's why we have this show is for people like you. Have a wonderful
Thanks,
weekend, and happy birthday, Canada, to you. God bless you. Bye-bye. Right,
thanks, you guys. Love you.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Canadian Canuck living in Mobile. Hey, you're listening to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. We're going to repeat our questions now for the last time this hour. JJ, what do you have left over there?
Here's what I've got. Which baseball great was nicknamed the Iron Horse? Second question, who was the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army? And then I'll add one. How many signers of the Declaration of Independence were there? How many signers of the Declaration of Independence were there?
All right, I've got two questions left. Where was the fortune cookie invented? It is a state. Where was the fortune cookie invented? And second one, who was the first astronaut to visit space twice? Who was the first astronaut to visit space twice?
All right, my questions why didn't George Washington sign the Declaration of Independence? Why didn't George Washington sign the Declaration of Independence? And no, it wasn't because he had an attitude problem. I don't know who emailed that in, but that's not the answer. Number two, Cascade, Horsetail, Plunge, and Tiered are types of what? Cascade, Horsetail, Plunge, and Tiered are types of what?
Hi, my name is Wilma, and I get all these stains out using Cascade. No, you need to try my brand, Horsetail. You talk about some stains like grass stains, these other hard-to-get-out stains. You wash your load in Horsetail. Look how bright and white this is. I'm going to say...
You're reminding me of the 70s TV
detergents. There's no doubt about it. It's detergents.
What about that freak that didn't want everybody squeezing the Charmin? What was his name?
Mr. Whipple.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah, he's incarcerated.
He had no life. What, so can you imagine going through with that kind of bitterness and anger in your heart? You're going to walk out and make sure nobody squeezes a Charmin. Wow.
You know how many 40 and under-year-olds are going, I have no idea what planet you guys are from and what language you're speaking.
When you reach the age when you have to explain all these things that you think the whole world should know. Anyway... Here's my third question. According to the American Kennel Club, what's the most popular dog breed found in the U.S.? The most popular dog breed in the U.S. is what breed? That's what we want to know the answer to that question.
Roy, which one of those?
Yeah, go ahead.
Roy, which one of those do you know from Blackwell, Oklahoma? And do you want to answer one and ask one or do both?
Well, I called to ask you a question, but if you got your finger on a button, because I might say something that shouldn't go over the air, seems like the dog thing is something like Shih Tzu.
No, that is a dog breed. That is not a profane word, but that's a good...
I kind of thought so, but it sounds terrible.
I know, but anyway. you bring more attention to it when you tell us ahead of time. It's going to sound bad, but... Okay, anyway, that's okay. Right? That's a good answer, but it's incorrect.
Yeah, well, I figured it was. Yeah.
What's your question for us, Roy?
Right after World War II in the United States, there was a brand of automobile and a model name that was the most aerodynamic car to be built and the lightest weight car to be built for a full-size sedan. Do you know what it is? And how it came about to be the most aerodynamic and light car that was built in the United States till probably the 90s.
Now, you said...
The lightest...
You said sedan. The Corvette was built in 1953, and that wasn't a sedan.
Full-size sedan, about the size of a Buick sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not the Bel Air.
Four-door sedan.
Was it the Bel Air, Chevy?
This was in the 40s, right after World War II.
Man. You had the Hudson. I'm just trying to think of some brands in the 40s. Any guess, Tim?
Rutabaker?
No.
Rutabaker?
I think you're thinking Studebaker.
No, you're circling around it.
No, there was a Rutabaker. It's kind of an offshoot of the Studebaker. It didn't last for like 2 years, and then it went out. Bad.
I understand what you're saying. That's close enough for you.
Transmission problem.
I know what you mean.
Hey, Roy, we're stumped. Tell us the answer.
Well, in 1949, Nash Motor Company made an arrangement with Boeing because they were just finished building all the fighter planes and stuff for the Army, for the Air Force and all. They had the best, most advanced wind tunnel in the country and possibly in the world. Nash made a deal to have their cars designed in that wind tunnel, and they not only had the most aerodynamic shape, it was a little questionable as how attractive it was. I kind of liked it, but in fact, I have four of them. Not that I'm driving any of them, but I've got four of them that I want to do something with. But they were lighter weight and more aerodynamic. They were built like a fuselage of an airplane. Anyway, that's how. I don't know how they made the arrangement. I think Nash had a facility in Wichita, Kansas, where the wind tunnel was.
Very, very interesting.
Because they were. Yeah, I bought it. The last Nash I bought, the guy I bought it from was the second owner, and he knew quite a bit of the history of all that stuff.
Well, and the Nash was a standalone, and I did not realize about the aerodynamic aspect and it being a larger sedan. And it went on Nash Rambler, and then it was Nash AMC went on to acquire Nash, the Ramblers and such.
Wasn't there a movie about that with Jeff Bridges?
That's Tucker. That was Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a true story, right?
True story.
It was called the Air Flight, actually. It was the model, what they called it.
Wow.
Very interesting.
I do have a suggestion for the guy that has a problem with the dogs chasing them and all that with a bicycle.
Yeah.
And this works for people on foot, too, because that's how I came up with the idea. I had a next-door neighbor with two, like, pit bulls that would come charging at the chain-link fence, which is only about 30 inches high between my property and his. Scared the heck out of me. Every time I walked to my workshop, they'd come, and one of them was so vicious he grabbed the whole chain link fence with his teeth. He was actually twisting the fence material with his teeth. I figured if he got a hold of me, you know, he'd do worse. So I devised an idea. I got a spray bottle and filled it with ammonia, and when they came running over, they got about 20 feet from the fence, and I gave a squirt. And I couldn't believe they jammed on the brakes and turned around and left me alone. And they would wait if I went by three or four times and they deducted I didn't have the bottle with me, they'd start it again. But any time I had the bottle, and after a while, they just left me alone. They do not like ammonia. And I think bears and everything else would probably have the same effect on them.
So if you're jogging and you run into some pit bulls, make sure you have some ammonia with you. Is that right?
Well, you know, they carry water bottles and stuff on the handlebars, and joggers usually carry a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Get a little spray bottle with some ammonia in it. That would save your
life.
Some
people carry mace.
Hey,
but very important not to get confused between the water and the ammonia.
Right.
You mean for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem right there.
And you do think a lot alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
It.
Thanks,
except for the Nash.
I think we're about... I don't know. We don't have time.
Hey, while we're about to go to the break, the Tucker that you mentioned, what differentiated that car? It was the only car ever made in the history of automobiles. The headlight was in the very center. And when you turn the steering wheel, the headlight turned the direction you turned the steering wheel. And it was absolutely an amazing car in every regard. But the big automobile makers, using politicians, they ran them out of business. They unfairly.
I remember that movie. I don't remember the whole story there, but it was Jeff Bridges about 20 years ago.
There's a Tucker, one of the only ones on Earth. It's located in the Tupelo Automobile Museum.
Is that right? You've seen
it? Yes, I've seen it. Tupelo, Mississippi, the Automobile Museum is the largest in the world east of the Mississippi River.
Wow.
So come to Tupelo, see AFA, and check out the Automobile Museum.
See the Tucker.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break here for news, and I'm sure it'll all be good. And then we'll be back with more Trivia Friday on American Family Radio in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.